John Walker, Oscar Tavares, Red Hot Seattle Mariners hitters, and much more. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Today on Tuesday, July 1st. We are in July. How about that? And speaking of which, no live show or no, like, that day podcast or live video show on July 4th. We're off that day. But we'll do a pre-recorded mailbag show Thursday to air on Friday. So if you have any questions you want for that mailbag show, put mailbag in the subject line. Email us fantasybaseball@tbsi.com. I'm Adam Azer. Hello, Al Melchior.
Hello.
You know who's a trooper today?
Scott White is.
Scott White's a trooper today. Listen to this man.
Yeah, how do I sound to you?
Better.
You sound fine.
Your voice is warming up a little bit.
I'm picking it up.
Me.
Yeah, I'm getting it, stepping it up for the show.
He's sick, folks, so... Yeah. Thank you for coming in.
We appreciate some sick advice.
I don't know. Do you really appreciate it?
As long as
you're this far away from me,
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay. So we got a lot to get to, of course. I just gave out the email address, but let me tell you about, if you're a fantasy football fan, a cool event that could interest you. CBSSports.com/fantasyparty. Go to CBSSports.com/fantasyparty. August 23rd. In Foxborough, Mass. So if you live around there, you're going to be around there on August 23rd. We're having a draft day special event with Dave and Jamie. Giveaways, raffles, advice, live drafts, things like that. So CBSSports.com/fantasyparty. Watch, of course, our live show noon Eastern time. Jake Arrieta was really good yesterday. We will get to that. Let's go to the big news. David Wright won't go on the DL with his shoulder injury, but he is out until at least Friday. St. Louis is calling up Oscar Tavares, who is 68% owned. He hit 189 in 37 at-bats in his first stint. And I think it'll be fun if we just make Scott answer every question today.
Oh, yeah. Just run him ragged.
Scott, what do you think about Oscar Tavares?
I think, obviously, he needs to be owned in more than 68% of leagues. That's the first thing. Pick him up. I don't think this is good news for... really, any other Cardinal you may own, though, in particular, Alan Craig and Matt Adams. Doesn't seem like they're calling Tavares up to play center field every day, although Mike Matheny didn't rule out him playing there when they had ground ball pitchers on the mound. But it sounds like it's going to be rotating three players between two positions, which... that's going to be enough for me to probably call Craig more of a sit than a start if that really does come to pass.
How about the D word?
No,
the drop word.
Not the D word.
What are we doing today on the video show? We're talking about guys that you're ready to drop.
Guys that we actually are ready to drop, yes.
Yeah, like Shelby Miller was one for Scott. Give me one for you.
Well, actually, we both had Jason Castro.
Okay. No spoilers. Watch the show live noon Eastern. If you can't watch it live, everything's on demand. All right, so Oscar Tavares, pick him up, and we'll see what happens there. Matt Adams obviously could sit against lefties. Evan Gattis has a bulging disc in his back. He's on the DL. Christian Bethencourt and Gerald Laird are going to share time for Atlanta. Give me some catcher replacements. One catcher leagues and then two catcher leagues. Ow.
All right, one catcher leagues.
Zanino, well, Darno.
Yeah, see, well, okay.
After we drop Jason Castro, you can pick him up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd actually rather have Saltalamacchia than either of those two.
Okay.
That's the thing.
Wilson Ramos is 50% owned.
Okay, there you go. There's the sweet spot because anybody I'm thinking that's ranked around 12th, 13th, they're pretty highly owned. But, yeah, Ramos is probably by far your best target.
Two catcher leagues. Are we still just going to say Steven Vogt?
Still Vogt. Jaso, if he's around. Mm-hmm. Just say anybody who catches for the A's, Derek Norris. I think Chirinos, while he still has – well, you know, Soto's coming back fairly soon, but – I don't know that necessarily means that Chirinos loses playing time.
Okay.
That's something to watch.
And is Eric Hosmer in danger of being demoted, Al?
You know, it's all speculation at this point, but right around the same time, I caught two tweets yesterday afternoon. One from Andy McCullough, who's the Kansas City Star beat writer that covers the Royals, and he wrote something to the effect of the Ibanez acquisition for the Royals gives them the flexibility to send Hosmer to the minors. I thought, didn't know that was really in the discussion. And then right around the same time, Randy Jazzierli, who's been blogging about the Royals since as long as there's been blogging, like since the 90s, made a very similar comment about that situation with Ibanez. So
wow.
It's at least, it sounds like there's at least some talk in the KC media about that happening. So I think that's something to take kind of seriously.
Later on, Jesse Hahn, Ubaldo Jimenez, Steve Pierce. Again, those Mariners, Taijuan Walker, and those hitters we have to talk about. But first, let's play a little game that I made up. I'm coming up with a title for it. Whose line is it anyway? I just came up with that this morning out of nowhere.
Never heard that before.
Yeah. Very,
actually,
very original.
In unrelated news, this is not how I thought of doing this. I saw a show at midnight yesterday. It's called At Midnight on Comedy Central, and Greg Proops was on it. Is that his name?
Proops?
That sounds...
yeah, I think it's Proops.
Oh.
Greg?
You know, the tall guy, Greg, who's been on...
It's not Proops?
No, it's Proops. Well, he was on it yesterday. It was okay. Anyway, whose line is it anyway? This is the June slash line for the number 10 third baseman in fantasy over the last 28 days. 337, 365, 520 slugging percentage. And he's got two home runs and 10 doubles in that stretch. He's number 10 in both formats, folks.
Do we get like questions? Because don't they do that on the show?
Whose line is it anyway?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. You and Scott, I can give you guys a prop and you can act something out. They do that.
You know, actually,
they do the game where you can only speak in questions.
Oh, okay. Well, you can try that.
Well, is he multi-position eligible?
I think so.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah,
so
I'm pretty sure.
I was going to say Brock Holt, and you would know that.
And does he share a name?
He is.
Yeah. And does he share a last name with two shortstops?
No.
Oh, okay. Then it is not Eduardo Escobar.
No. This guy has been so off my radar, even though I've noticed the stats were getting better. Anybody? If he were playing in the World Cup, he would play for Greece.
Mike Moustakas?
No. Nick Castellanos or Castellanos?
Ah.
Castellanos.
You would think,
but he wouldn't.
You'd think it would be Castellanos, but it's Castellanos.
What do you guys think about Nick Castellanos and that impressive June, 337, 365, 520?
Yeah, it snuck up on me much in the way it snuck up on you. Unfortunately, it did that sneaking after I dropped him. In a league, right after I dropped him in a league,
52% owned.
Yeah, and part of the reason I dropped him was I was disappointed in the home run power.
Yeah, which has been lacking in June. Clearly, two home runs. You know what else has been lacking? A .337 batting average versus a .365 on base percentage. That really puts a lot of pressure on the batting average.
Right. It's almost like he should have done a lot better with a .3. What was it?
337
batting average. So it's
That's
not
kind
that
of...
impressive to be number 10 with that kind of slash line, I think.
Yeah.
Especially that position.
Yeah, that's kind of my feeling, too. It doesn't strike me as a breakout of any kind.
All right, email of the day is from Jonathan. Should I be shopping Corey Dickerson while the iron is hot, or can I trust him to continue putting in work and maintaining playing time when cargo returns? By the way, Carlos Gonzalez making some time, making some progress.
I own Dickerson in several leagues, and the thought of shopping him never even occurred to me. And yet, this strikes me as a really good idea. I wouldn't be eager to trade him, but if you have a need to fill, and you have some outfield depth, he would probably be your best guy to try to trade right now.
Let's talk about Monday's standouts. Jake Arrieta, 7 2/3, one hit. I was praying for him to give up a hit. I did not want him to throw 135 pitches and throw a no-hitter. And he agreed. He gave up a hit with two outs in the eighth. And no runs, one walk, 10 strikeouts. So now Jake Arrieta has really been, you could say, over his previous five starts, the best pitcher in baseball. Maybe Kershaw would be the only other one. 28 scoreless innings in a row for Kershaw. But Arrieta, this is what? This is 34 2/3 with 3 earned runs and 12 hits. And 3 walks and 46 strikeouts.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
What do you guys think?
And according to your notes, he took a parental guidance into the 7th inning.
Yeah, he took a PG into the 7th inning last time. That would be a perfect game.
Oh,
that was his previous start against Cincinnati. All right, Arrieta, obviously, he's 89% owned. I'm not saying pick him up or anything, but just what do you guys think about him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm he needs a much higher place in my pitcher rankings for sure. I've completely bought in. It's just way too late.
Is there any reason for skepticism? Because I'm having trouble. I mean, obviously there's been inconsistency throughout his career, but he's never been. I think even during the good stretches, he's never looked quite like this, and never for this long.
Yeah, and I was watching the game last night, and obviously was a member of the Red Sox, and Jerry Remy, their color broadcaster, said he didn't remember Arrieta throwing with this type of motion. So he throws really across his body. It's a little unusual, and maybe that's part of the reason why he's gotten so much better. He's got a new look. They've talked about him staying healthy and just being able to sort of put it together and become a complete pitcher now. So I don't know, just seems like everything's kind of coming together at the right time for Arrieta.
I agree. Didn't really, see this coming at all. There was two seasons ago, he had a very high ERA, but he did have a spike in strikeouts, which showed you that there was some potential there. But I mean, it was the complete picture was nothing like what we've seen this season. But between the fact that he really was outstanding as an Orioles prospect and that he's been outstanding for a long stretch here, I can't even recall. There's probably been a start somewhere where he wasn't great, but it seems like every time out, he's just completely dominant. So I don't see any reason to doubt Arrieta at this point.
Would you guys rather own Jake Arrieta or Dallas Keuchel?
Arrieta.
No hesitation. From
yeah, well, I've thought
Keuchel
about it because
fan.
I lump them together.
There, yeah, he's the new Keuchel. Right? He's doing the same thing. Better, though.
I'm still taking Keuchel, but yeah, I mean, they're in the same territory.
Arrieta or Verlander?
Oh, that's a good one.
Verlander.
Yeah, I think so, too. But boy, he's made it close.
Who else do you guys want to talk about? Your standouts from yesterday?
Well, Jesse Hahn had a weird start. I was hoping that this start and the next one he's got this week would kind of help me figure out who he is, because Hahn has, much like Arrieta, been much better than his recent body of work would indicate. But that body of work, of course, coming in Double A. And that's just a very strange start. 9 strikeouts, which kind of follows the recent pattern. No ground balls. And that's his calling. That's been his calling card as a minor leaguer. It hasn't really been strikeouts. It hasn't been terrific command. And the command was a little shaky in this start.
Yeah. It's one of the weird things about the start is he only threw 5 innings. And he had a shutout going on. He threw 97 pitches.
He wasn't efficient.
Right, but that's the most pitches he's thrown. So they don't seem eager to let him go too deep into games unless he's well under 100 pitches. Yeah. So he's gone. Hahn has gone from 79 pitches to 87 to 93 to 95 to 97. Maybe he cracks 100 next time out. All right, I'm sorry to cut you off. 10 walks, 36 strikeouts, and a 195 ERA. And pretty much all the damage came in his first start on June 3rd. In his last 4 starts, he's been unbelievable. 2 earned runs. Just 2 earned runs over 4 starts.
Yeah. So, again, I was looking for some confirmation here. But basically, he didn't do the thing that he's always done really well and kept doing the thing that he hadn't done that much of before. So it remains to be kind of a wait-and-see situation with Hahn. But obviously, one or two more good starts from him, and he's going to be very hard to get. He's been our most added player for a few days.
Yeah. Would you drop Zach Wheeler for Jesse Hahn?
Nah, I wouldn't.
Scott?
Neither would I.
Would you rather have Hahn or Danny Duffy?
Hahn.
Interesting.
Because at least Hahn is showing you that maybe the strikeout thing could be legit. Duffy, and it's not a bad thing, but Duffy's become kind of a pitch-to-contact guy.
Yeah, I actually had some stats on Duffy that I wanted to bring up a little bit later, because I don't really know how to interpret all these stats now, all these like advanced stats. All right, so Jesse Hahn, 69% owned. If he's available in your leagues, are you guys going to pick him up?
He's not available in any of my leagues.
I did the same check last night and was turned away.
I got him in 2 leagues coming into this week for the 2 starts. Will I keep him for next week? I think a lot of that's going to depend on his second start this week. I'm not taking it as a given that I'm keeping Hahn. So you might have a chance to get him.
Okay, Ubaldo Jimenez. Do you guys care about this start?
No.
No. No, you're not going to let yourself.
Here was last night's start for Jimenez against Texas. 8 innings, 4 hits, 1 unearned run, no walks, 7 strikeouts. Okay, I'll make the case for Ubaldo Jimenez, and then I'll make the case against Ubaldo Jimenez.
You've been arguing against him from the beginning.
I know. Well, I argued against drafting Ubaldo Jimenez. I definitely see how he's been a hot and cold pitcher. Last year, for example, before the All-Star break last year, he had the same amount of walks as he has this year, 53. He had more strikeouts, but he had 2 more starts. And Jimenez's ERA right now is 4.31. Last year it was 4.56 before the All-Star break. Post All-Star break, he went 6-5 with a 1.82, 27 walks, 100 strikeouts. So he's done it before. That's the case for Ubaldo Jimenez. The case against him, earlier this year he had a 3-start stretch in early May where he went 2-0 with a 0.46 ERA and 5 walks, 20 Ks, and 19 2/3, and then he gave up 10 earned runs over his next 2 starts. So you know I'm not jumping on the Jimenez bandwagon or anything, but you could make the case that now's the time, if you have a roster spot, to stash him in case he goes on one of his patented Ubaldo Jimenez runs.
Yeah, I'm tired of making those arguments. I've done it too often, and had it backfire me. And, you know, he will do this. For me, he's in Tim Lincecum territory. Because he could give you the strikeouts, he can get enough ground balls to have a good game. He's doing that in combination with the avoidance of contact, but it's that walk, that crazy walk rate, that's been fairly consistent for him this year, and not in a good way.
All right, Scott, Steve Pierce was your start, one of your starts at third base. He hit 2 home runs yesterday, and now he has 5 home runs since June 17th, and he's batting .327 on the year.
I don't know what that third base stuff is about, but
first base.
In the column is outfield, I think. Where is
I'm sorry. I said third base. I meant first base. My bad. And I should have said outfield.
You should have said outfield. Yeah. No, it continues for Pierce. I'm actually kind of relieved because I was a little concerned that he had started to trail off a little and that it was just this isolated streak and, you know, that any player can put together for a week or two. But for him to come back with 2 more home runs, granted it was off Joe Saunders, both of them were. But I think that's reason to think there may be some staying power here. And he's only 38% owned, so it's not like he's hard to come by right now. I think I'd take a shot on him, particularly in roto leagues. I'd want to make sure he was rostered.
Another man who was unavailable in all my leagues.
Yeah.
I guess I waited too long. I still can't get over the fact that he's never played 60 games in a season because people keep giving up on Steve Pierce.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, J.D. Martinez, the same was true for him, and now you can't get him anywhere. I think it's...
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's Steve Pierce for you. Anybody worried about Sean Doolittle? 2 bad outings in a row last night, gave up a walk-off grand slam.
Not really. I mean, it was completely unexpected to me for him to blow up 2 games in a row.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, not he. There was just too much dominance before that for me to get too panicked over 2 games.
Can we go back to Pierce for just a second?
Yeah.
Because you did mention third base.
Oh, Chris Davis.
Yeah.
Played third base.
It's worth mentioning. Pierce started at first base yesterday because Chris Davis played third base. And he played third base because Manny Machado suspended. And Manny Machado is going to be suspended for 5 games.
Oh, man. God, it'd be so perfect.
Yeah.
For Chris Davis to play 5 games at third base and get eligibility.
I think there was even a quote from Pierce, like, because the AP recap was all written from the perspective he filled in for Chris Davis and hit like him or something like that. And I think there was even a quote from Pierce saying he's going to be over there for a few days. So
you know what's going to happen? Davis is going to start the first 4 games.
Yeah.
And then the 5th one, they'll...
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
They'll move him back.
You think Chris Davis would start sitting for lefties with Steve Pierce playing first base on a regular basis?
No. There's still room for Pierce in the outfield. They were starting David Lowe out there before him. So I don't think that's a real concern.
Okay. Jake McGee pitched the 8th, gave up 2 bloop hits, And then Joel Peralta blew the save in the ninth, gave up a Brian Roberts homer, and Grant Balfour pitched a scoreless tenth. They used McGee in the eighth instead of the ninth, and they lived to regret it. I wonder if they did it maybe because of the part of the lineup he was facing. But it's just the writing's on the wall, right? It's got to be McGee closing for them.
See, I thought the writing was on the wall, and then Madden goes and brings him in the eighth, and he kind of erased the writing.
Yeah, but then Peralta blew the save. It's like, I still see this as a positive development for McGee.
Yeah, okay.
Not a completely positive, but...
Yeah, a step back to take
if he's going to pitch the eighth, then at least the guy who threw the ninth blew the save.
Yeah, but then... But still, it shows he's not the ninth inning guy. And they have other players they can use. They have Oviedo.
It shows that right now he's not.
Yeah.
If you were gonna bet on it, though, who's their closer in 2 weeks?
Jake McGee.
Yep.
And Taijuan Walker, what'd you guys think of his debut? He gave up 3 runs in the first 2 innings. Then he settled in. He gave up 2 home runs, a monster home run from George Springer. Then he settled in. 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 6 Ks in his 2014 debut.
And I'm bummed because I didn't get to see any of this because my connection that I used for this froze up.
I watched a good chunk.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's certainly, you know, not a great line, but he walks away with a win and a quality start.
I was a little worried after the first 2 innings. So he and Alex Wood both looked kind of lousy at the beginning of the starts. And then Wood, it finished retiring 11 in a row, and Walker certainly settled in.
Yeah, in terms of a line, I mean, if you had asked us to predict a line, I probably would have come up with something very similar to that. I figured, yeah, you know, 1 or 2 home runs, the minimal, you know, stats for a quality start. That was roughly my expectation for this. And, you know, that said, I actually find it mildly encouraging because he had his struggles and he's coming off shoulder injury. And it could have been ugly.
Walker or Arrieta?
Arrieta.
Come on.
That's easy.
Yeah.
Walker or...
Bauer?
Sure. That seems easy, too.
Does it?
Nah, I don't know. I mean, I'm starting Walker now.
Yeah.
I'm taking Walker over
That's
Bauer.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That seems easy.
Yeah. If I have both but can only start one, it's easily Walker. If I only have room for one, it's probably still Walker. But I tell you what, if I've got Bauer... I'm probably not dropping him for Walker, if that makes any sense.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Because rest of season, I view them as very close.
Oh. Well.
And
yeah, I mean, I guess there is something to be said for if Walker's still out there now, then, you know, there's a chance I drop Bauer and he gets picked up right away. But Walker's still out there. Nobody's picked him up yet.
That's okay.
Probably a very rare scenario where that happens.
But you catch my drift. It's my way of saying I haven't given up on Bauer, even though he's been pretty bad for about a month now.
Really. Okay, that's fair. Al, tell me if I'm crazy here. I think Scott is faking it so he can leave early and go to a soccer bar for the U.S.
Oh, it's pretty obvious.
Yep.
Just my theory.
Big soccer fan.
Big game today, guys.
I know all those American players like Jim Nelson and...
Yeah, Mike Smith.
Yeah.
Actually...
Jim Nelson's a baseball player. I don't know why I came up with that name.
They have quite the foreign team.
Oh, really? So like Stefan...
Well, Jozy Altidore is... I don't know where he's from, actually.
I'd never
no
make
idea.
Up that
I don't
name.
Know what kind
it
of...
I'm going to reveal my ignorance. German, maybe?
They have a lot of German presence on their team, and their head coach is German. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a big follower. I just know the basics.
You just want to watch the game.
Tim Howard is their goalkeeper. He's really good. So that's, you know...
It's called goalkeeper. It's not called goalie.
I say goalie. Whatever you want to say.
He's
their keeper.
It's a genuine question.
I don't know the exact term. I think in Europe they'd probably call it a keeper and say it like that.
What accent was that?
I think that was the part of
Australian.
Europe that's like on Long Island or something.
My bad.
You're Boston.
Al, I had a gardening at night moment this morning in the car.
Oh, really?
So just to refresh everyone's memory, you looked up the lyrics to Gardening at Night and realized it was about what?
Well, I did look up the lyrics. I Googled meaning because I had a theory about what it meant and wanted to make sure it was right. And then found a link to an interview with Mike Mills, the bassist from REM, who revealed
that's
it was about peeing on lawns.
And then this morning, like I am genuinely very excited about this soccer game. Like I can't wait. And this morning, I'm listening to a classic rock station, and Born in the USA comes on. So I start like blasting it, like yeah. And I listen to the lyrics. I guess I'd never really listen to the lyrics because I don't really like that song. It is not a patriotic song at all.
No, it is not.
And I was like,
many have been fooled.
Yeah, yeah. I guess all I needed to do was listen intently. It's a like anti-Vietnam song. So, oops, Gardening at Night meets Bruce Springsteen. Injuries, news, and notes, part one. Bryce Harper's back. Ryan Zimmerman was at third base. Danny Espinosa was out yesterday. Minnesota activated Trevor Plouffe and Eduardo Nunez and sent Pedro Florimón and Jorge Polanco down, and Plouffe was at third and Nunez was at short yesterday. Bo Porter says he expects Dexter Fowler back soon. Mookie Betts played center field last night. Jackie Bradley sat. Bradley picked a good night to sit. And the Yankees, according to Fox Sports, have been scouting Chase Headley. You can see how that would be a very inviting place for Chase Headley. Tyler Skaggs is going to start Wednesday at the White Sox. He's 50% owned. He is nowhere near the Bauer-Walker discussion, is he?
No, not really. I mean, it's one of those things where you get like outside the top 45, 50. Like a couple good starts could move somebody up 20 spots, you know?
Right.
I think you can see that discussion with some binoculars.
Yeah.
Okay. Scott Kazmir and Yoenis Cespedes left yesterday's game with cramps. They're day-to-day. Hanley Ramirez pinch hit. He walked yesterday. That's a good sign. Miguel Rojas started at shortstop. Juan Uribe was at third. Here's what Robin Ventura said on his closer situation. Quote, the way the bullpen is right now, we're going by usage, matchups, and just the feeling of who you want in there at that time. You don't know on a daily basis who you're going to use in which spots. Speaking of which, do you think Matt Lindstrom is worth stashing in a deep league? He could be back in August.
AL only, maybe.
Yeah, that's about as shallow as I'm going.
Jose Altuve has stolen a base in 7 straight games, most since Sean Figgins had a 7-game streak in 2010. And Lucas Duda started against a lefty, Alex Wood.
Mm.
George Springer stole a base. That's 2 days in a row for Springer. And the Houston broadcast yesterday said Springer hit a dinger. So I guess we're not the only ones. And I guess you guys probably saw that story about Houston's trade discussions being leaked on Anonbin. I don't know how to pronounce that. I've never heard of that
before.
Yeah,
that's the first time I've heard of it.
And then Deadspin reported it. Pretty interesting stuff. How would you have felt about Giancarlo Stanton for George Springer and Carlos Correa?
Not very good, but I have to say of all the hauls that the Marlins could get for Stanton, I think that's probably one of the better ones. And it would be one of their better trades actually in recent years. I wouldn't want it right now, but it compares favorably, you know, against like the Anibal Sanchez trade and the Hanley trade.
I'd take that.
And then
I'd do that.
It showed what they were asking for Bud Norris. Dylan Bundy, Xander Bogaerts, and they didn't get it.
It didn't work out.
Then
they ended up trading Bud Norris to them anyway
for less
than that.
And the Deadspin story.
I'm not sure what
like,
it even means, basically.
No, I didn't read it in depth. I just read the cliff notes. The Deadspin story was like the Astros acted like your fantasy owner. I'll read it actually what they said about the Bud Norris trade. It's kind of funny.
While you're looking that up, yeah, the Marlins did make that trade with the Astros. Like, I wouldn't be furious. Like, I wouldn't be happy about it. But if they just figured there was no way they're gonna be able to sign Stanton, I mean, that really isn't bad.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, how much are they gonna like? Even if they do re-sign Stanton, it's gonna be for so much that it's probably gonna prevent them from competing. Probably.
The Miami Marlins seem to have been willing to trade Giancarlo Stanton for top prospects, Carlos Correa and George Springer, blah, blah, blah. Where I just had it. Oh, sorry. While vigorously shopping adequate pitcher Bud Norris last summer, the Astros came off a bit like that one guy in your fantasy league asking after every team's top young players as if there were a real chance that, say, the Boston Red Sox were going to trade Xander Bogaerts for an okay-ish number 3 starter. Pretty funny. All right, Seattle studs. James Jones stole 3 bases. He's 22% owned. He has 17 steals and 18 attempts.
no power, 289 average, 6 RBI. This is tough. I never know what to do with guys like this in roto leagues because they don't give you any run production. They don't drive in runs. They don't hit home runs. They, you know, it's actually a good 289 batting average. That's excellent.
He scored 30 runs.
He scored runs.
In a, you know, I don't know what his game or at bat total is right now.
It's like 60-ish games. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's quite good.
And you got to figure he wasn't batting second for all those games. So I would imagine the run production, like Brock Holt, the scoring is good. The steals are great. So do you think he's underowned at 22%?
Oh, yeah, he's way underowned.
Yeah, I just didn't know. It's hard to figure out who to drop for guys like that.
Yeah,
you don't want to lose the other categories just to get steals.
I'm not saying he's a must-own in a 12-team mixed league. I think in anything much deeper than that he is.
Yeah.
I'm not saying so. I'm not saying he is in a 12-team mixed league, but if it's the sort of thing where you got somebody who's just, you know, just been a zero for you in your outfield spot, I think he's worth starting.
I'm starting to get warm and fuzzy about Robinson Cano. Home runs in back-to-back games.
It's about time, Adam.
4 in June, probably from like mid-June on, at least 3. And 25 home runs or more in 5 straight seasons. Not sure he'll get there, but all 6 of the home runs he's hit would have gone out of Safeco, for what that's worth.
Oh, they're all on the way.
No, I think 2 were at home. But yesterday's was on the road. All 6 that he's hit this year would have gone out of Safeco.
Well, yeah.
How many home runs are you thinking for him, Scott? He's got 6.
I'll give him 18. Give him 12 more the rest of the way.
1 a week.
That's probably about a normal pace for him in a normal season. So, and obviously the batting average, there's no reason to doubt that. He's been doing that all year. That's still... Like, if he does that rest of season, he's the top second baseman in fantasy, I think.
Yeah, 3 home runs on the road, 3 at home so far for Cano. Mike Zunino, over the last 14 days, is the number 3 catcher in points leagues, number 2 in roto. 5 home runs in his last 9 games, Al.
That's some power there. And
yes, it is.
It's just if he's going to streak in any way, that's where I would expect it.
So this doesn't really change things for you?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, we left him out of the conversation for catchers we'd pick up who went down.
Gattis.
He'd be up there for me, if only while he's streaking like this.
Yeah, I think the problem is like he's obviously owned in every 2 catcher league.
Every 2 catcher league.
So if you're replacing someone in a 1 catcher league, it's probably a points format where you're penalized for strikeouts and rewarded for walks. And he's been so bad. In that specific 11 walks, 86 strikeouts this year for Zunino.
The catcher position is kind of wacky like that. You got the 1 catcher leagues, which are the majority probably, and then 2 catcher leagues. And there's guys like Zunino, guys like Castro, who we said we'd drop, guys like Salt Lamaki, up here, Zinski. They're going to be owned in 2 catcher leagues and should be. And there's really. There's not going to be anybody good enough on waivers to drop one of them for.
Right.
But then in 1 catcher leagues, nobody has any reason to keep a backup catcher, really. So they're all just out there on waivers. And it's just, unless you have a Lucroy or a Molina or Miguel Montero, somebody like that, you're just swapping out the hot hand every week, I feel like.
Yep. Yeah, it's kind of a boring position because of
that. Yeah.
All right, and Brad Miller, guys, 58% owned, home run last night. And, you know, we've harped on the walk-to-strikeout ratio. On the year, it's 21-64, 21 walks, 64 Ks. But it was 2 walks, 26 strikeouts in April. And he's really been fine since then. So the batting average, the month of June was 298, 355, and 512 slugging for Brad Miller with 5 home runs. So is he the guy that you guys thought he was going to be in the beginning of the year?
Now he is, yes.
Must own?
I'm not convinced he's all the way back yet. He's been odd, obviously. It's a weak position. If you need help there, and a lot of people do, he's more interesting right now than like an Asdrubal Cabrera or Alcides Escobar type. But I'm not sure. He's still striking out more than I thought he would coming into the year. And, I mean, his overall line is still bad, so Is 3 or 4 weeks enough to erase that? No, I don't think it is. I need to see more.
What did Herc and I argue about yesterday? Hardy versus Miller, right?
Yep.
And they both homered. So far, so good for both of them. You're going down, Herc. All right, 3 up, 3 down, rotation. Fringy starting pitchers. I wanted to talk about some struggling studs, so let's do this kind of quickly, guys. Curtis Granderson snapped an 0-for-17 slump with a leadoff homer off Alex Wood. Kevin Kiermaier has homered in 3 straight games. And Matt Joyce, good call, Scott. Scott killed it yesterday with his daily stuff, calling Matt Joyce and Steve Pierce.
Yeah.
Matt Joyce hit 2 home runs Sunday and 1 yesterday. And Stephen Vogt went 3-for-4 with a steal yesterday, played first base for the A's. He's 8% owned. Anything to say about Granderson, Kiermaier, or Joyce? We talked about Vogt.
All right. I know you said quick, but a comment on each one. Jeff Tobin would not trade me Curtis Granderson for Neil Walker. He should have done that. Secondly, Kevin Kiermaier.
You should not have done that. You'd rather have Walker?
No, I'd rather have Granderson. Yeah, that's exactly why I offered him Walker.
Yeah, then he should have done it just for Al.
Yeah. The Kiermaier thing, you know, maybe there's something to this because, he's hit enough home runs that maybe he's figured something out, but this has come out of nowhere, and so I'm still not buying into it. Vogt. I noticed a similar pattern with him, Chris Parmalee, and Steve Pierce, who we've already talked about. All three are guys who have historically been fly ball hitters, power their best skill, and all are hitting for average right now. And I'm not sure I buy it with any of them.
Okay. But you buy power from them.
But I buy power from them, yeah.
Okay.
I kind of wish I had more to offer on Kiermaier, but I'm in the same boat there. I mean, he's up to 7 home runs now with a batting average over 300, and he's been 6 weeks on the job now doing that.
They were talking about him just kind of growing as a hitter.
When did it happen? Just immediately he gets to the majors and he grows? He's still striking out every fourth at bat, so at the very least, I would say a batting average over 300 is unlikely. And then there's not much of a track record in the minors with the power either. So I'm highly skeptical, but at the same time, I know he's widely available. So maybe in deeper leagues, we're beyond the point where you should just flat out ignore him, I think.
Would you rather have Kiermaier or James Jones, or is that entirely need-based?
Yeah, I would say it would be need-based, because if you just wanted to take a flyer on somebody who might have power, you really need the power, and there's nobody available. I wouldn't have much of a need for James Jones, but in the proverbial vacuum, I would much rather have Jones.
All right, 2 down. Willian Rosario, 0-for-4 with a strikeout at Washington, and he's got a .433 slugging, 8 home runs in 56 games. And Jason Kipnis went 0-for-3, and he's hitting for no power. And the only thing I saw, Al, when I looked at the numbers on Baseball Reference was his home run per fly ball rate and his home run rate had basically dropped in half. He's not really hitting any more ground balls. Ground ball rate's slightly up, just not homering as much, but seems to be the same type of hitter. So are you guys worried about Rosario or Kipnis?
We'll start with Kipnis. I find that stat encouraging because, if he's just become a different kind of hitter, That's usually a worse sign. And, when you have guys who are, their ground ball rate shoots up 10%, that just usually doesn't go well. So I'm not sure what it is with Kipnis, but it's more encouraging to me. Rosario, you gave Scott a well-deserved shout-out on his picks yesterday.
Oh, you said sit him.
I did. You need to give Al a shout-out.
Yeah, nice work. Come on. Nice work.
Rude.
He's bad on the road, right?
Yes, quite.
All right, let's go to the rotation. Kluber, Herron. I don't know, did you guys see the email in the Rejects League today?
I did.
I'm supposed to apologize.
And I'm supposed to make you do it, and I won't.
For dissing Dan Herron because he had this good start. All right, well, over his last 9 starts, Dan Herron was the number 50 starting pitcher in points leagues because he's able to get some quality starts in there. I was actually surprised.
Surprised, too.
And he was number 109 in Roto of all pitchers, including relievers, not starting pitchers. But he's been pretty bad. He's given up a home run in 9 straight starts. He had a great one yesterday.
The previous 10 starts before this one, which was – I went back 10 because that's where there was the big drop-off on strikeouts where he started striking out 2 or 3 every game. Mm-hmm. And he had 5 in this game. So it wasn't a high number or anything. 4.76 ERA during that stretch.
Yeah, he's whatever. I still think over-owned at 86%. Agree or disagree?
Who's more over-owned? I don't think anybody.
Right. That's a good point. Okay, I'll ask one question about each guy here. Corey Kluber, are you convinced he's legit, borderline, pretty much must start each week?
Yes.
Yeah. Jordan Zimmermann, are you buying the higher strikeout rate this year? One of the best of his career.
I am buying it.
Yeah, sure.
Matt Latos, are you concerned that he has 15 strikeouts and 25 and two-thirds, even though he has 3 out of 4 really, really good starts?
Yeah, because the velocity's been down a good bit, too.
All right, that's a good point. I guess the only thing I'd say is I remember reading after last start, they said he's just not there yet with his arm strength and that it was coming.
Yeah, well, they can say that. I'm not sure. I mean, it hasn't. I didn't check what it was for this start specifically, but it's been down 2 or 3 miles per hour on average. And for somebody who had forearm issues, that's concerning. Because the results are good, I'm guessing he'll probably be okay and bounce back. But I'm not. I'd be reluctant to trade for him right now, I guess. I'll just put it that way.
Question for you. When I look at Brooks Baseball and they have the velocity, is that maximum or average?
They give you both. So the default is average, but there is a tab there where you can find the max.
All right. Looks like his average velocity was up from last start, but pretty consistent from the previous three.
Yeah, if you're looking at the game log, I think. Well, I think the game log has both. Yeah, that's well, if you scroll up, it'll tell you if it's the max. But
all right.
It's the default is average.
Okay. Well, thank you, Al.
This is very good informative podcasting here.
Yeah, it's a useful tool.
Everybody scroll up on baseball.
Yeah, Anibal Sanchez. Oh, it is average, by the way. Anibal Sanchez, are you worried about his strikeouts?
Yeah, I am. I don't know.
But. Let's just go back 3 starts ago, Al. 3 starts ago, he had 59 strikeouts and 62 and two-thirds. But over the last 3 starts, I'll do some math here. 7 Ks in 19 and a third innings or something like that.
All right. Well, I thought it had been a longer stretch than that. Obviously not, but that's still drastic enough now over 3 starts that I'll keep worrying.
Enough to downgrade him?
Yeah, probably. I'll have to look into it, but yeah, I'd say probably he's going down a little bit.
He does have a 2.63 ERA. He has been really good.
Yeah, but whenever I look at the ERA, I always think, how is he doing this? He hasn't given up many home runs. He's done that before, but that's the kind of thing that can rebound in the wrong direction in a hurry.
Speaking of which, Chris Archer has allowed 3 home runs all year. And yesterday, 7 innings, 2 runs at the Yankees, 4 strikeouts. In June, Chris Archer was 1-3, but he had a 1.95 ERA. He is 91% owned. Archer or... Well, forget that. Where is Archer for you guys?
Off the top of my head, I'm thinking 50, 60-ish.
Yeah, that's the same range for me.
Yeah, he's 49 for both of you.
You have this clump of non-strikeout pitchers who are too good to downgrade too far. Loesch, Hudson. I think there's somebody else in there.
Jesse Chavez? Carota?
Yeah,
Fister.
I include Carota in there, Fister. It's hard to tell sometimes who belongs ahead of him and who belongs behind them. I'm guessing if I have Archer 49th, then he's ahead of them.
No, he's just behind.
Just behind them?
Yeah, he's just behind them. All right, okay. Here's my question on Archer. Do you think he is taking that next step this season?
I'm not convinced of it. Just because he's one of these pitchers where we've, kind of seen versions 2.0, 3.0, was a power pitcher in the minors, came up, suddenly focused on control at the expense of strikeouts, then he's been sort of leaning more towards the power pitcher version of himself this year. I'm not sure where he's going to land. And the fact that he is making these adjustments and is usually effective when he does so, that encourages me. but which is why I have him ranked where I have him ranked. But I'm not totally convinced he's done developing here.
One weird stat on Archer. Lefties bat 208 against him. Righties bat 298 against him. And I think part of that is he doesn't have a very varied arsenal. So, 2-pitch pitcher. Fastball, slider. So I think he needs another pitch against righties to take that next step.
Coming up, I think.
Hmm.
So,
you know I can check on that, Al. No, it's not until September. Sorry. So it looks like next year we'll have to get him a new pitch.
Well,
change up.
Yeah. It's probably not going to be a playoff run.
Probably not. Danny Duffy. Okay. Last five starts for Duffy. 2-2, 171 ERA. 31 2/3, 18 hits, 10 walks, 28 strikeouts, only one home run allowed. Opponents are batting 164 with a 210 BABIP. Now, I went a little bit more in-depth here. 17% of his pitches have been strikes looking, 7% have been swinging strikes, and a 15% line drive rate.
That's going deep.
All right, what does all that mean? The 7% swinging strikes thing kind of concerned me.
It concerns me, too. That's why I referred to him as a pitch-to-contact guy, and I was surprised by the strikeout total, and now doubly surprised because you pointed out 17% called strikes. That's a lowish rate. Sort of round average, but definitely not a high rate. And the whiff rate is definitely low. So I'm not sure how he's getting close to a strikeout per inning. That sounds a little fluky to me.
Look at the game log. Maybe it all came in one game or something.
Could be that. Sometimes guys get a lot of foul balls. And those tend to be fly ball pitchers. And this all kind of comes full circle. Because that's the one consistency with Duffy. Is he is a fly ball pitcher. Which partially explains a low BABIP. Might explain the good strikeout rate despite the lack of called and swinging strikes. But that's a dangerous game because you get him out of Kansas City into, U.S. Cellular Field, Yankee Stadium, places like that, and he can get clobbered.
I've got an explanation for the strikeouts.
All right.
9 of them came against the White Sox in 7 innings. The White Sox are one of the most strikeout-prone teams in baseball.
One of the striking-outest teams in baseball. I think they're number 2.
They're number 3 now.
Yeah, they're
the
up
Astros,
there.
Number 1
Marlins. Marlins, Astros, White Sox, Braves.
Yeah. So, all right. So that definitely explains it. Yeah, because there have been in the game log, I think, a lot of like 3-4 strikeout games, right?
What did I say? Last how many starts for Duffy?
Last five
starts. We're talking 4-9-5-5-3.
Yeah.
And before that, 5, and before that, 3.
All right, so I do think it's fair to call him a pitch-to-contact guy, but like many that we've seen this year, he's been pretty successful with it.
So do you consider him a must-add? Like, if he's out there, do you think he's the next starting pitcher to have this big breakthrough and we have to get him before it's too late? He's 69% owned.
I don't see him going the Arrieta direction. And if I was choosing between him and like Jake Odorizzi, I'd choose Odorizzi.
Odorizzi.
Whose name I just pronounced differently the second time because that's the correct way. Baseball Reference has informed me.
Would you rather have Jose Quintana or Danny Duffy?
Quintana. But I will agree with Scott that I think I'd rather have Odorizzi more than either.
Would you drop Hutchison for Duffy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would?
Yeah.
Oh, God, now Al's sneezing.
Oh, no.
Okay.
This is why I shouldn't be here.
I thought that was going to suppress that one.
I'm 100%.
So kept the headset on.
Going to be sick for 4th of July weekend. There's, like, no avoiding it.
Well, we'll get together and we'll, grill some steaks and sneeze on each other.
And hopefully, maybe we'll watch some soccer if the U.S. wins today.
No, you got to stay at your own house.
All right.
We're watching baseball.
Some bullpen stuff. All right. Yeah. Colin McHugh or Danny Duffy?
What was that?
I'm stopping myself.
I'll still take McHugh, but I'm not so riveted by him right now. Gotta say.
Yeah, well, 3 home runs yesterday. That'll do it.
Well, the walks have been high. He's been giving up. Other than that Brave start, there really hasn't been much good here recently. 4 out of his last 5 starts, 3 plus earned runs. 4 out of 5, 3 plus walks.
1-4, 3.78 ERA for McHugh in June.
Yeah.
Do you think Colin McHugh could be a keeper?
Yeah, for Ireland.
Yeah. I had the totally wrong accent there.
Keeper.
Bullpen stuff. Hector Rondon gave up a hit, but he got a save last night at Boston. Jabba Chamberlain and Jairus Familia struggled yesterday in non-save situations. For Familia, it was partially defense. But there's that.
Three errors. Not just partially defense.
Yeah, but there were two on
give
before
up,
he made
give up
the
four
first
hits,
error.
Didn't he?
First error. Now I'm in Long Island for good. Yeah, he threw a ball away. Then there was an error in center field in the name that outfield for the Mets, whoever it was, Ligaris, one of the
Somebody
Young.
Named
I think
Young.
It was Chris Young. Yeah. Anywho, the struggling studs will have to wait for another day. Because I don't think you're worried about any of these guys really. So
it's a waste of everyone's time.
Probably. Injuries, news and notes part two. Kansas City signed Will Ibanez, as mentioned. Justin Maxwell was DFA'd. Yolish Chacin on the DL with an inflamed shoulder. Still no timetable for Michael Wacha's return. Yunel Escobar's on the DL. Jonathan Villar was sent down to AAA. The White Sox and Angels are going to play a doubleheader today. It's Richards Noesi in game one. It's Weaver Carroll in game two. Ugh. Emails and tweets. Girth Algar, what?
Good luck, White Sox.
Good call. Emails and tweets. Girth Algar calls me out. He says, your opinion of George Springer is nuts. Homer and a steal last night. Stolen base in two straight games. Now he's a total stud.
That I will back up.
So what do you guys perceive my opinion of George Springer to be? Because sometimes this is what's starting to bother me. Sometimes all I say is how a player has performed. And people take it as like my going forward opinion of them. Like, I didn't say Robinson Cano was going to be a bust all year. I was just saying, at the time we did that show, he was like the number 11 second baseman, and he had been a bust up to that point.
I am pretty sure more than once you have said, quote, George Springer stinks, end quote.
If I said that,
it was off the air.
I was joking. Are you kidding with that? Or are you serious?
I'm being serious.
He obviously doesn't stink, and I never thought he stunk.
You just said it.
No. I say that all the time. No, I say the Yankees are the worst team in baseball. You can't take anything I say seriously.
Like, there's something I find, too. Like, I'm trying to keep, like, I feel like part of my responsibility is to keep expectations for any player in its proper place.
Yeah.
So if I perceive that it's inflated for a player, usually because he's hot or whatever, or maybe deflated for a player because he's cold, I'll argue for the opposite. Like, he's cold, but he's really better than this. He's hot, but he's not this good.
Right.
And then that makes me forever pro the bad player and anti the good player,
right,
when really
right.
It's just about what he's doing at that moment. Yes.
So, I had just said that I think George Springer... I think, the fact that he wasn't stealing any bases was hurting his value. The fact that he's stolen two in a row is a good sign, especially we saw what happened with Polanco. He had none, and then he just went nuts. Nuts is relative. But I still don't think he's a...
relative.
I still don't think he's a stud, George Springer.
No, I don't either. But I guess it all depends on what you call stud. I mean, he's not a number one or two outfielder.
No.
So he's not a stud, but he's a... He's practically a must-start.
If I remember the way our conversation went yesterday with Herc on, instead of Al,
yeah,
it was, okay, so he's hitting about 250 and is performing at a 30-homer pace. Is that living up to your expectations, or isn't it? And Herc and I said, it is, or at least I did. I don't remember what Herc said. And you said it didn't.
Yeah, because he'd stolen two bases up to that point. Now it's three. And because so many of the home runs came when he was red hot in May. But if you looked at April, it was terrible. And if you looked at June, it was fine. But I just didn't think he was a stud. Now June looks a lot better because the last day of June he homered and stole. But I think he still struck out twice yesterday.
Yeah, he's going to strike out.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's why he's probably not going to hit much better than 250. Maybe he'll get up to 260, but I'm not... Yeah. Counting on more than that.
I'm going to be very excited about him next year. I just don't know what he's going to do this year.
Yeah.
Well, we're pretty much out of time. So Will in San Francisco wants to know, is Brad Miller, would you drop Aaron Hill for Brad Miller? Miller's second base eligible. categories league?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either.
Vic from Vermont says, hey, Mark, and Dan. Dan is Marino. Who are the Marks? Come on, guys.
Come on, guys.
Come on. So Al, when did you move to South Florida?
98.
Oh. This would be Mark Duper? Mark Clayton.
Yeah.
Of the 80s Dolphins.
Don't just have to be a South Floridian to know that one.
Nah, it's not that obvious. It's obvious for me, but I'm in a 6x6 head-to-head categories league with holds. You guys never discussed the value of eighth-inning relievers. Could you rate your top 5 to 10 holds people going forward?
I'm fairly certain I can't off the top of my head.
But Todd Siss is
he's
the best non-closer. I think that's safe to say. Wade Davis is probably number 2. But after that.
Yeah, throw Will Smith in there.
But do those guys get holds?
I don't know. That's
because like, I feel like they pitch in a lot of situations that aren't necessarily set
well, Betances is more than Davis. Davis is, I think.
Like, Betances get more you still should own those guys because they'll get wins and so many strikeouts and whip. Sorry. I got a little too literal with the question.
No. He asked about holds and... we could pull out the holds leaders, but he can do that himself.
Yeah, you're probably better off rostering a guy like Betances, who's just better.
Well, I wanted to do this in part just to answer your question. I mentioned Will Smith. I didn't know this. He is leading the majors in holds. But Betances, I don't.
Right, yeah. I'm not that surprised because he's not a holds guy, really.
That's shocking to me.
They use him in such a versatile way.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, anybody can look him up, but I looked him up, so let's
do it.
So Will Smith and Brad Ziegler are two of the top three. Tony Watson's the other. And actually, Watson, given the way he's being used, I think those three would all be in my top 10. Wade Davis is 6th. Job is in there.
I got a little sleeper maybe going forward.
Okay.
Scott, tell me what you think.
Shea Simmons.
Yep.
That's a great one. Adam Warren.
Length.
Adam Warren, good one too. All right. So Shea Simmons, 3% owned, and he's really good. He's got 1.38 ERA, strikeout per inning. Hooray. I don't know how much they use him though. That I'd like to know.
But Simmons?
Keep an eye on it.
I mean, it seems like a lot lately.
Yeah, because David Carpenter's been hurt, but David Carpenter just came back, and he was struggling. It'll be interesting to see how much his injury affected his performance, because he was great. He was one of the top setup men in baseball last year.
And there's your middle relief report. Okay, guys, thank you for a good long show, good information. One of these days we'll get to more emails. I apologize for that. Oh, we'll get to them on Friday. So there you go, our Thursday mailbag show that we're on Friday. Have a great day. We'll talk to you on Fantasy Baseball Today Live News.